comes to an end. A day like so many others have been lately. A day where pain and sorrow are felt acutely just by walking past a now empty chair, glancing at the picture of one now gone that hangs upon the wall, or hearing your song on the radio. Can it truly be day when there is such darkness? You don't live in Alaska or Scandinavia where the night lasts for multiple weeks and months because of Earth's journey around the sun. You live here, in the summer land where the sun doth shine. And yet, the night is long and dark and persist, though Earth's circumnavigation of the sun has been completed multiple times. The cruelty of death and loss is not simply the finality of it all. It's the relentlessness of the grief birthed from death. It's chaotic. It's raw. It's confusing. It's primeval. Dare I say, it's otherworldly. It cannot be prepared for. It denies containment. It erupts unexpectedly. And yet, it is reminiscent of another time and place. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, we are told. Literally, the Scripture tells us that there was a similar occasion in Earth's existence that was marked by unimaginable darkness, where the tempestuous sea tossed about, a place where literally chaos reigned and nothing had meaning. A place void of life and joy and hope and light. I dare say that there is not anyone in here tonight that has been touched by grief's chilling touch who cannot say, I've been there. I know what it's like to be tempest-tossed and nearly overwhelmed by the rogue waves of grief that crest in the dark against my oh-so-small boat, my boat that can barely stay afloat. Beloved, I in no way wish to deem your grief insignificant or as some passing emotion tonight. I do not wish to offer platitudes like, this too will pass, or it'll get better in time, or we've all been there. I do wish to offer truth. And that is that all of these platitudes are assigned to the theological category of hogwash. It won't pass. Eons can go by, but the pain, though maybe less intense, will continue to abide. And no, I haven't been there, and neither has anyone else. Your grief is your grief. My grief is mine. And just as we are different people, so too is our grief. I know my triggers, and I strongly suspect yours are different from mine. I also do not wish to deem grief as only birthed from physical death. All losses are grievous. We can grieve over a hope dashed, a dream awakened by reality, a vision vanquished by changing circumstances, and we can feel the grief as deeply as we would a physical death. I am here tonight, though, to remind us of a few things. First, God is present with you. In fact, God is standing with you in the midst of the chaos loss has unleashed in your life. I know you may not feel God's presence, or you may be so angry with God that you don't want to feel the touch of the divine. Regardless, though, God is there. God is accompanying you. I know it because God does not change. And if God is present in the primordial chaos of creation, God is present now. I know it because the Scriptures teach us that all our sorrows and griefs were laid upon the Son of God on the cross. That Jesus is well acquainted with grief, my grief and your grief, and because our sorrow is on Him on the cross, then that means by sheer Trinitarian reciprocity, God is with me and you, is accompanying us in our sorrows and griefs, even when, like Jesus, we feel forsaken and abandoned by God. Secondly, because God is present, it means that again, due to Trinitarian reciprocity, the Spirit is present too. Beloved, ponder that for a moment. The Spirit of God is present. Yeah, big deal, you might be thinking. To which I say, yes. Yes, it is a big deal. It's a huge deal. It's a colossal deal. Because there in the moment when we can see no way forward is the creative power of God to create our next path. For it is the Spirit hovering over the chaos in Genesis that is unleashed to bring order through the creation. It is the creative Spirit that is poured out on the tumult of the post-ascension disciples faced as they gathered in the upper room at Pentecost, and life was brought once again into alignment. It's the gargantuan deal, because when everything within us seems dead due to the loss we have incurred, there present is the regenerative power of God that, moving unfettered through our lives, can make all things new. Herein is the hope of this night, beloved. God is at work. I am unsure when it became commonplace to say that a new day began with dawn, for that is not what our Jewish brothers and sisters believe. A new day starts in the dark. In the beginning, the creation chronicler tells us God began the work of creation in the dark as light was created. For then there was evening and there was morning, the first day. This night, first day, second chronology is found throughout Genesis 1. Yet it is not only there. There is what some may consider an afterthought found in John 13:30. Whereas John recounts the institution of the Lord's table, he tells us that Judas took the morsel of bread and went out to join his co-conspirators. Then, as an aside, John adds, and it was night. But to borrow a line, oh, what a night. For that night will give birth to life as the events of Calvary unfold. That night becomes a new beginning for countless millions throughout history. That night sets the table for new chapters to be written in lives as varied as common street whores and kings in resplendent robes. That night, filled with chaos and grief, allows me to say, this night, though the night be long, God is here. God has not forgotten you. God is with you. God is at work. Light is coming, and attendant with it is joy, wholeness, hope, and a new beginning that God declares good, just as was done at the first beginning. The light of a new beginning may seem imperceptible, unthinkable, unimaginable, and maybe even in the deepest throes of grief, unwanted. But light is coming, beloved. And so on this longest night, we pray once again in our brokenness and grief, break forth, O beauteous heavenly light, and usher in the morning our peace eternal making, our hope and expectation, the night of darkness ending. Amen.
We light 4 candles tonight in honor of our loved ones. We light one for our grief, one for our courage, one for our memories, and one for our love. We light the candle representing our grief. We own the pain of losing loved ones, of dreams that go unfulfilled, of hopes that evaporate in despair. We light the candle representing our courage. It symbolizes the courage to confront our sorrow, to comfort each other, to share our feelings honestly and openly with each other, and to dare to hope in the midst of pain. We light the candle representing our memories. For the times we laughed together, cried together, were angry with each other, or overjoyed with each other, we light this candle for the memories of caring and joy we shared together. We light the candle representing our love, the love we have given and the love we have received, the love that has gone unacknowledged and unfelt, and the love that has been shared in times of joy and sorrow. Tonight, we remember those we have lost in our fellowship since we last gathered on the longest night. Sandra Stuckey. Randy Dunn. Ethel Phillips. Joan Massey. Pamela Bray Johnson. David Snyder. Michelle McIntyre. Alta Vista Pruitt. Francis Willits. Bob Andrews. Reed Abernathy. Lavinia Parrish. Sylvia Smith. You are now invited to come forward to light one of the votive candles, which represents your burdens, griefs, sorrows, all those things that make Christmas a blue time for you. You may speak the name or the event if you wish to do so. When you've lighted your candle or candles, you may return to your seat. Come forward to pray silently. We light the Christ candle, remembering that Jesus Christ is always in the center of our lives. He hears our cries, he knows our hearts, and in the midst of all of our thoughts and emotions, he offers us hope and healing.
Let us pray. Comforting God, wrap us in your presence in this time of remembrance. With these candles, help us find your light, a light that will guide us day by day, step by step, as we try to live life fully and wholly. We cherish the special ways in which we have been touched by our loved ones. We thank you for the gift their lives have been to us. Now comfort us, encourage us, empower us as we make our prayer in the name of the one who loves us so, our good shepherd, Jesus the Christ. Amen.